try again. Thursday night, Kayak Fishing Radio, The Late Show. I'm your host, Rob DeVore. I had to think about my name there for a second. What's wrong with me? Anyway, so happy St. Paddy's Day to you. And we're going to have a good time tonight, waiting for Kayak Kevin to call in. And going to talk about his new movie and all that stuff tonight. But St. Paddy's Day, and I got the landing crew, Mark Wheeler. How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay.
Good to see you, man. You were MIA last week.
Yeah,
that's okay.
You know, starting a new job. You know,
understand,
get excited.
Man, understand. Yeah,
get
absolutely.
Excited.
And Redfish Chuck from the always desirable and always popular Mosquito Lagoon. How's it going, Chuck?
Good, buddy, good.
Awesome. Now, Chuck, you were talking about in the 8 o'clock hour, you got on some cobia there the other day, man. How big were you talking, man? How big were we talking about?
The average fish was right at about 30 pounds. My big fish for the day was like 43.
Wow, that's awesome. So how far out did you have to go?
We were right on the beach in about 35 foot of water, maybe a quarter mile off the beach, maybe about a mile the furthest. I think we were off the beach was about a mile or so.
Awesome. You been fishing, Mark?
No, I've been working.
That's a bummer, man. Well, one good thing going on this week, I'm finally getting my my review about my Malibu written. Adam and Mark over at Yak Angler have been giving me a hard time about it. You know, all the pro staffers got to do a review on your kayak if you haven't already. So, y'all get busy. No, it's okay. You know, it's interesting because I was, during the boondoggle and everything, we were talking about, you know, there's no real perfect kayak for every situation, you know. And, you know, I'm sure that Chuck, you know, being a motion guy, you'll be like, oh, well, wait a minute. But
yeah.
I can even say that as much as I love my Malibu, man, I can say that it's not a perfect kayak for every single situation, you know. So there are, you know, some limitations involved and everything. And I'm sure that you could say the same thing, Mark, about your ride there.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, you know, if you're... get a chance, man. Get your kayak reviews into Yak Angler. You know they can always use them. So anyway, did you read my article on sun protection this week? I'll take your silence as a no. No, that's okay.
No, I read it. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta this. I know it's sunny year round, and I know we touched on it a little bit the other night, but. You got to take that seriously, man, because and I'm not knocking anybody, but when I was at the boat show, I did notice that a lot of these guys, man, when you see them in person, they are a lot of those guys are ate up with the sun, man. I mean, they look really, really, you know, like they spend a lot of time in the sun, and I'm sure that they do. But you can't slack on your sun protection, man. I'm definitely making a conscious effort to get better at it, you know, without having to look like an Easter egg. So, you know, Chuck, you know, I got some comments on that article about gloves, man. You ever feel a need for sun gloves? Your hands get beat up or anything by the sun?
Yeah, they get beat up by the sun, man, but I can't wear gloves. I just can't bring myself to do it.
Sometimes, if I'm spending a lot of time in the water or on the water, and my hands are getting, you know, ate up with the paddle more than the sun. But I'll wear like some fingerless gloves there that will, you know, that way I can still, you know, tie knots and everything. But I don't know, man. I never had any problems getting my hands beat up by the sun or anything like that. You know, and plus I use like a 70 sunscreen on everything. So I don't know, man. I'm not like, you know, overly dark, I don't think.
No, but, I use Waterman's. Is actually really a really, really good product. Waterman sunscreen. I did a review on that stuff a while ago, and they make it in a stick applicator, so you can put it on your hands if you want to. And
cool.
The nice thing about that company is it's actually designed for the professional surfers. So, I mean, the stuff is literally like Crisco. It never comes off. I mean, you got to, like, really, really scrub to get it off. So no matter how many times you dip your hands in the water or whatever, it you know, you got protection all day long. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I find that I use the spray on, you know, whatever, basically whatever I can get my hands on. And I'm digging, you know, I try to use like anything, you know, 70 to 90 if I can, you know, and I've heard, you know, people say, well, you know, you can't use, you know, anything over 70 isn't really doing you any good or whatever, but, and I'm sure that there's probably some truth to that, but I like the spray on kind. There's like waterproof spray on kind. You know, I'm using Ocean Potion at the moment, and a lot of times you can find it on sale at Big Lots or something like that. So that's always, but you got to use that stuff, man. And it's the same thing. I have to like scrub it off in the shower, man. I can't, you know, and it's still on even after scrubbing it off. So I guess you know, it does do. It's really waterproof, and it does stay on you, you know, all day. But, all right, there he is, man. It looks like Kayak Kevin. Is that you, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Yep. How you doing?
Doing all right, man.
I figured it was you because you got the same area code as the landing crew there.
Yeah.
So how you doing, man? I'm glad. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for reviewing my DVDs on your blog. And on Yak Angler, too.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was good. I was glad I got to see him, man. You know, so you got a new one coming that you're working on there?
Well, I'm working on it, but it's financially I'm not gonna be able to probably get it out, but hopefully by Christmas. I was trying to get it out by summer, but it's gonna be pushed back a little bit further than that. But
yeah.
I'm about 80% done right now. I still have I still want to do a flounder segment in it, but I've gotten pretty much all of the rough cuts done.
Awesome. Now, okay, I did see on your Chesapeake Bay, your touring Chesapeake Bay DVD there.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that you did like some other long distance tours, like around Florida and everything.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to fish around here? Because I'm like right around Tampa.
Yeah, totally. I chased tarpon across Tampa, the mouth of Tampa Bay. But y'all were talking about cobia earlier, the early show, and my first cobia was caught just outside of St. Mark's on that tour.
Nice.
Yes, that was pretty. It was
awesome.
A small one, you know. But you know, I hooked and the thing jumped all in the air, and it was really cool. I sight casted to it, so
yeah.
That was pretty neat. But yeah,
those
I totally fished. I was able to catch tarpon down in Flamingo and. Yeah, it was good. I caught a lot of fish on that tour.
That's awesome. Well, you know, so I was noticing that you get a lot of big redfish up there, man. And have you ever fished Mosquito Lagoon?
When I was coming through there, I was fished, you know, actually I hooked a big tarpon inside in Indian River right before I crossed over to Mosquito Lagoon. But, again, you guys were talking about the shuttle on the last hour. I was... In 2005, when I came through there, I was right there for the shuttle launch, but it canceled, and then it was a week later, and I was, like, in Georgia by then, by the time it went. I mean, I was right there, you know, I was camping right there in Mosquito Lagoon, ready to see it, man, and it was, you know, like a chance of a lifetime to see that on tour, you know, but it canceled, and I didn't see it.
Well, that happens a lot, man. Half the time, I don't think that they go up when they're scheduled, you know.
Yeah.
And hold on, let me. I just want to ask the guy over there. Hey, is that next shuttle launch going to go up on time? All right, man. Thanks. Anyway, you know, you guys get some pretty stocky redfish up there in that area. You know, up in Chesapeake Bay around that area. And have you ever seen any of the Chuck? Have you seen any of those monsters from up there?
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of that footage and also photos from up there. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. Do you get them that big in the lagoon there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we get plenty of fish over 50 inches up there, too. I mean, in the south end of the lagoon on like the whale tail area and some of the other better known places hold, you know, big numbers of them. We don't get them. I don't think we get as many fish that size here as they do up there, but we definitely get our fair share.
What's interesting about that area is there's a landlocked fish, so that's pretty unique about the Indian River and Mosquito Lagoon area there. And ours they're migrating.
That was something I thought Mosquito Lagoon was landlocked too, but apparently that's not the case.
Those reds move in and out?
No, well, it just depends on where you're at. The south end of the lagoon.
Right.
Because the Mosquito Lagoon is a pretty large body of water. The south end of the lagoon, those fish are all stuck there pretty much for their entire lives. But once you get a little bit further north, say just north of New Smyrna, then you get into Aunt's Inlet area, and those fish can come in and out of the inlet quite a bit.
Yeah.
Run down the beaches and go offshore just like you guys have. So.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, man. So you had to get a new truck, Kevin. What happened, man?
Well, it was an old 87 Ford. You know, it was my grandfather's truck, and you know, my dad, and he gave it to me, and I had to replace. You know, 2 years ago, I had to replace a gas tank in it because the salt water from my kayaks rusted through the gas tank. So it was, you know, I was having another leak. I knew I was going to have to go in, and you know, finally I got into the shop. When they put it on the lift, the thing buckled. You know, the I beams on the frame. Well, those things were rusted pretty much 50% through. I mean, daylight through them. You know,
wow.
And so that pretty much totaled that. And you know, I knew I was going to have to get a new truck sooner or later, and hopefully, you know, I was just trying to pass it off for another 2 years, but kind of jumped on me quicker. Yeah,
yeah, that never does that when you want it to, you know. But those are the best fish cruisers, man. Are those you know, like an old truck? I'm in the market right now for a new vehicle, and you know, every time I get on Craigslist and I see something in my price range that I think will actually be around more than a couple of months, you know, I pick up the phone and it's gone. So
I found a pretty good deal, and I jumped on it quick. I mean, you know how those good deals, they, like you said, they're gone quick. So
yeah.
I was on it. Yeah. And this one's got a bed liner.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea, man. Yeah. Well, you know, if you're probably on the water, you know, all the time. So, you're going to get your use out of it, man. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
it's I thought that was pretty hilarious. I don't know if I read that on your website or something.
I think I emailed it to you. It just happened when I talked to you, like, on the email, yeah.
That's pretty hilarious, man. You just, like, you know, use that thing to death, man, until it, you know, you fished out of it until it was done. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are you doing on your new movie?
It's going to be the sequel to the fishing movie, the fishing DVD, but it's going to be just the warm weather species. The shoals are going to be on there. I'm going to do the summer species, you know, the first island stuff, like on the first DVD, sheep's head, spadefish, you know, triggerfish, and I even got a black drum out there, and then sight casting, spring sight casting, summer, fall sight casting stuff. So that's what I'm gonna do on this, and because I'm doing more instructional on this next one. Instead, you know, how that first one was just action. You know, I didn't want to slow it down to do any of the knots and all that stuff. I just wanted to, you know, here's the place, here's the fish, you know, and here's the fight.
Yeah.
So on this one, I'm you know, instead of that intro to the place, I'm showing you what I'm using, how I'm baiting the hooks, how I'm, you know, whatever knots I'm using, all the gear and all the technical side of it.
Well, that's awesome.
And then it goes straight into the fights.
Well, no, that's really good. You know, instructional stuff, you know, like knots and all of that stuff. That's important stuff to have on in any, you know, whether you write or whether, you know, you make movies or anything like that. And I think that's, you know, stuff that people look for, you know. I do, man.
Stuff. Yeah, I work at a tackle shop, so I'm helping, you know, people come in and ask me what kind of knots do I use to connect my leader and stuff, and I just use a basic surgeon's knot, but a lot of people don't know how effective and easy that is to tie out there when your hands are cold and wet and you got some waves splashing over top of you.
Oh, dude,
you know?
that's what I use. Everybody laughs
yeah.
and says, oh, you know, an Albright knot or a uni knot, but
it's too complicated. I can't tie those knots when I'm out there under pressure.
I can't either. Well, it's not that. I'm just like an idiot, so it's hard, you know, that kind of stuff is hard for me, you know. I'm like learning disabled or something, so, you know.
Well, when your buddies, when you break something, your buddies are still like whacking them right next to you, and you're over there fumbling with a knot.
Yeah.
You got to learn the quickest and easiest thing to get back on them again, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but the surgeon's knot, man, you're right. It is easy. I learned that tying line to line. Same situation, you know, hands being cold, fly fishing. So I'm like, that's, you know, and it works. I never, even on braid, I don't have it slipping on braid or anything like
that. I've never had one break or slip, and I use braid. All of my rods have braid on them, so I use, you know, fluorocarbon or mono leader on everything. So,
yeah.
And I've never had that break.
That's awesome. So, so let me ask you this, you know, my girlfriend's kind of getting into kayak fishing and stuff. How did you get like Shantae into kayak fishing, or was she already in?
No, she wasn't. And, I think she kind of figured that the only way she's going to spend time with me is getting out in the water with me. and I tell you, but she's perfect for it. She's aggressive with it. You know, she's hungry for it and she advanced pretty quickly. And the footage we got this past year, we were sight cast on these striper and, you know, we caught a lot of them and they were skinny, but they were like 40-inch striper, but they were really skinny. They're a post-spawn spring striper. And, you know, we caught like a dozen. And, you know, just by the end of the day of her fighting these things, sight casting and just having the hard, you know, tough fights, you know, I could see her progression just through that day. And then the next day went out and, she, you know, we catch big reds. And she was able to completely deal with it, fight them hard and tight drag, get pulled around real fast. And it was excellent. So she's really taking the ball and run with it.
Well, you know, at the there on April 2nd, we're taking – I'm taking her over to the lagoon there and getting hooked up with Chuck and Dee, and we're going to have a good time over there, man, and see if we can't get on something like that for her.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Man, that place is magical. It's like once you fish there, it's like, you know, several years ago, the first time I went fishing down in the Keys, I was like, you know, it like ruined fishing for me around here, you know. It's like, okay, I guess I'll go. You know, but that was awesome down there, man. You can see everything like a mile away,
yeah.
You know.
And, I remember when I was paddling up from, I was behind Key Largo, and I went underneath, well, that bridge that goes over to the Keys. And I remember looking down, man, and it was like, you know, 30, 45, as far as I could see, I was getting vertigo. It was so clear, and I was so deep. You know, it was the strangest feeling.
Yeah. It's
beautiful,
that's
though.
That's a magical place down there, too, man. But, no, that's awesome, man, and I'm like, I'm looking forward to your new movie coming out. Now, let me ask you this: are you on a team for Kayak Wars this year?
No, I haven't. That's with the tag and stuff I do, and dealing with all the footage, it's kind of hard for me to take on any extracurricular activities. But because I'm part of a tagging program here too, so I've got a little bit of paperwork to do with that whenever I do that stuff. So it's that and doing the footage, and that's pretty much all I can handle. And my website, and that's I've been pretty slack on that lately too.
Yeah, well, I haven't checked the standings today, but you know, Rob Choi's team up there is like really, really they got a good team, and they're like it looks like they're always on the water up there. So you know, they're pretty much cranking it out up there. So,
well, it's the thing, you know, you guys are already catching fish and racking up all those points. You know, our season hasn't even started up here yet. It's just hit 50 degrees.
I know.
So,
but see,
I've been kind of watching it, just listening to you guys and watching my buddies, you know, do it. You know, Rob Troy and all those guys that have been kind of watching how it works. It is pretty cool.
Dude, I don't know how you all do it. I see you all up there in the deadliest catch, you know, gear, you know, it looks like to me. Because when it's 50, man, that's like, that's the dead of winter to me, man. So
yeah.
I'm like allergic
and
to the cold.
And it's warmed up to 50. The water temperatures have just gotten to 50 right now. It's been, you know, it was down to 37 for most of the winter.
Yeah, oh,
right,
I know, and y'all are still out there fishing, man. That's crazy. I'd be like,
well,
uh-huh.
It's at that point, pretty much the fish cut off. But when it gets into the 40s, and you know, we've got the stripers here right now, the schoolie stripers around the bridge tunnel, and it's a nighttime fishery. So, you know, we try to get one of those warm days, warm nights to get out. But the water temperature is still, you know, it's still pretty cold.
Yeah, man. So, you know, y'all's kind. You know, I got to see. The landing cruise kayak there up close, you know, down in Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. And, man, that thing, you know, fishing up there, you all, like, beat the hell out of your kayaks, man. I was looking at that thing, and I'm like, holy crap, I don't know whether to shoot that thing or to, you know, donate money to that guy so he can get a new kayak. But after I saw your DVD, I was like, now I understand.
Yeah, because most of the structure that we fish is like out of the water structure. You know, we've got the pilings and we've got the ships over there. So, yeah, I mean, I just got a Trident 13 also, and then the first day I went out with it, I just rammed it into the piling just to get that first hit. You know, just to knock it out one time. Okay, all right, now that's over. Now I got no problem. You know, now
yeah.
I can scratch it up as much as it's going to happen.
Yeah, now you know you don't have to worry about don't scratch. Yeah, I was like
just
that
ran
when I
full
first,
speed.
Yeah, when I first got my kayak, I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to drag it. I don't want to, you know, where's my wheels at? You know, all the time. And then after about three trips, after I, you know, drug it over a couple of oyster bars, I was like, okay, that's all right now. You know, okay, you know, drag it through the sand down to the water. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you got it. That's pretty awesome, man. So so what else you got going on this summer? Or you know, now that it's getting into the warm weather.
I'm just, you know, going to fish a lot. Going to try to hopefully fish more than I did last year. You know, I got pretty much a good portion of the DVD done, so I'm not having to do that too much during the spring. But when these, you know, right, the first thing that they'll start to happen is the tautog will start to happen. There's those fish that live in the rocks on the video that we're always, you know, pull out of the rocks. So those will start up here soon, and real soon. It should be starting, you know, within next week. We should be biting good. 50 degrees, 55 degrees is like the optimal temperature for that. And then the reds will start coming on the other side, and we'll start going hunting those things, you know, in the shoals, and then hopefully get some sight casting on them.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always a lot of fun, man. Now, this ocean kayak that you fish out of, man, can you stand up on that thing?
On the sight casting stuff, I'm using a drifter, and that thing is super stable. It's super slow, but you kind of sacrifice the tracking and the sluggishness of it for the outstanding stability of it. That's what I use for the sight cast and stuff, and then shoals and any kind of stuff that I need to be really agile with. And the boat that I paddled to the first island for the distance stuff, I use a Prowler 15.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, so you know, a little bit hard to spin around the pilings, but it's much easier getting out there and back, you know, especially getting back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I just got a Trident 13, which I'm going to try to do some sight casting on it. I paddled around today and stood up on it. It's not as stable as the drifter, but it's kind of the best of both worlds. It tracks really well, but it's still stable enough to stand up and sight off of.
Oh, that's cool. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I have a Malibu, and it's super stable, but it's like it's a dog sometimes paddling. You know, I mean, as much as I love the thing, I can find three things that I hate about it too. You know, so
yeah.
You know, it's really hard. You know, we talk about this. We were talking about this earlier that you know it's really hard to find a good all purpose boat for every situation. You know, that's why I think everybody has you know more than one kayak. You know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody owns probably, you know, or at least a lot of guys do, you know, they own, you know, two or three of them, you know, because there's different things for different people, you know, and I think that's great. We got a call coming in here from area code 804. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rob Choi, dude.
Yeah, it's probably
hey,
Rob.
Hey, how are you?
804.
Yeah.
What's happening?
What's going on, man? I've just been listening on for a little bit, just hanging out.
Awesome.
Cool. My buddy Kevin's up there. I'll listen in on what he's got to say and see if I can learn something else from him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. You can learn from dude. Kevin's probably the man to learn from up there in that area. But
yeah,
dude,
but at the same time, you know, I'm picking tips off of Rob. I mean, like, yeah, like this with his new boat, with the ideas on the inside of the Triton. I mean, I'm total, you know, picking ideas off of him. So, you know, it's all about learning from everybody. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah,
that's the awesome thing.
So, dude, I can't believe you got skunked the other day, man. Was that, like, the first time or something?
No, man, it's funny.
Every time I get on your blog, you know,
there's,
fish.
There's a lot of those days. I don't like to talk about those, you know what I mean? That doesn't work.
But where we were isn't that far of a paddle. I mean, it's about a mile paddle. Imagine going out to the first island, 3 mile paddle, you know, and then getting skunked, and that's
yeah,
way
that's
worse than where we got skunked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know. I hate that when that, you know, because that,
it's
that happened.
Also, it was also early in the season, man. It's not like
yeah.
As far as we were looking for togs, and
yeah.
it's just. We were looking at, for me, it was a new area, too, and it's relatively early in the season. I think, I know Kevin probably also has an affinity for these fish, but, man, I really enjoy, like, going after these fish, and even if there's a chance of getting skunked, I'll try it anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a scouting run. It was a scouting run, you know. We were going and dropping and finding the holes and all that stuff. So
we did find some really nice spots. I mean, very promising spots, not only for tog but for other stuff later on in the season too.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all. It's hey man, you know, it's great. I mean, you know, even just getting out on the water, man. Even if you get skunked, man. I don't know about you, but I love that. I don't like getting skunked myself, but. Hey man, it probably happens to me more than it does anybody else.
No, I did today. I went fishing today. I spent about an hour on tog and didn't get nothing and just went paddling for like 6 miles.
You
know, just to stretch my arms out. Huh?
Did you go? You went to the island, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you go to the island?
No. I go the first time I went to Eastern Shore and grab because I couldn't get blue crabs today. See, that's another thing is up here our main bait for tautog is blue crab, and we haven't been able to get in because their season hasn't started till today. So I couldn't find any blue crabs today. So I wasn't going to paddle out the first island with just clams because I knew that I didn't have any confidence, you know. So went to Eastern Shore, didn't have any confidence with, you know, until I found some rock crabs, some of those little mud crabs, and then I got a whole bunch of fiddlers and went out and dropped for about an hour, hour and a half, and then get a bite and just went paddling.
Yeah.
Well, man, I hate that. You know, you get a perfect situation. You're like, okay, yeah, it's going to be a perfect, you know, perfect conditions, perfect situation, and you get out there and it's like zippo. You know, and it's
for me today it was, I have no confidence because I don't have the right baits, and then all of a sudden I got some baits. All right, I got some confidence. I get out there and nothing's biting. So it was an up and down situation for me today.
Yeah. Nah, man, it's you know that happens to me. You know, and I get out there and I'm like scrambling to try to find fish. You know, I'm like, oh man, you know they didn't send me the email that said, hey, you know, we're not going to be home today. You know, go somewhere else. I hate that, man, that kind of stuff. But, you know, right now we're getting, like I was out on Sunday, and you know, it was in Clearwater Pass, you know, Sand Key, Clearwater Pass. And, you know, it's a pretty good, it's got probably 5 or 6 really good spots within probably about a 2 mile area, you know, that if you're not getting anything in one spot, you know, you can go somewhere else and, you know, you can't, I couldn't find fish finally, like towards the end. We were kind of heading back in, and it's like a little deep trough that runs between the beach and then a nice grass flat out there, and, you know, a couple of 100 yards from shore, and that's where, you know, we started getting trout. You know, nothing major, but, you know, I was like, phew, you know, I'm like, man, this isn't good. This is like, you know, it was like my first time out, you know, on my own, you know, for the year, and, you know, getting skunked for your first time out, it's like... Man, that doesn't do good for me, you know, because I don't use bait or anything like that. I'm all artificial and flies, you know.
Yep.
So I'm like, I'm man, you know, all my fishing reports lied to me. we're you know, flounder are happening in the past and you know, stuff like. How big do your flounder get up there?
Our citation size, which, you know, our trophy size is, I think it's 9 pounds. Is that what it is, Rob?
I think so.
Is Rob still there?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, 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 I think.
And
it
it's 26 inches for release.
Yowzer.
26 for release.
You know,
yeah,
you guys.
I'm pretty sure it's 26.
And your sheep's head up there, man, are ridiculous. We, I mean,
we have a real good sheep's head fishery, man, and it's and the Old Dominion University did a study on them, you know, to really try to find out what we have here, because we do. We noticed we did had giant ones, and they did a study, a 4-year study on it, and pretty much the conclusion is that we have our own special breed of sheep's head where they don't mingle. They're bigger. At a certain age, they grow. They're older, and than any of the southern counterparts. So we have this own our own stock that just have are grow monstrous for some reason. And our state record is like 6 ounces away from the world record.
Yeah,
and it's
I mean,
right where it's caught right at the first island.
Yeah, Rob had some there, you know, and you know, 11 pounds or 13 pounds or something, and I was like,
yep.
So you know, and it was like 3 of them in 1 weekend or something like that size.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap. You know, like a big one around here is going to be 6 pounds maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Man, those things must have like horse teeth or something, man. I just
yeah, man, they're it's so intense. Yeah. They're the best fighting. Those are my second favorite fish to target. Big reds, reds in general. I don't care if it's a 12-inch red or a 50-inch red. I like targeting them. And then sheep's head is my next because they're so violent and so crazy for that short little fight, you know. They're nuts.
Well, you know, Chuck took us out. We were over at the lagoon President's Day weekend, you know, and Chuck took us out and I got whipped. I had to stop fishing because my hands and my wrists were killing me from real. I mean, it was like every cast, you know, redfish for like 5 hours, man. And after, I'm not kidding you, man, between 7 of us, we probably caught 200 fish, man. So I was pretty stoked about that, man. I just stopped and watched everybody, you know. You know, it was like, it was impossible to not catch it. I mean, if you cast and you didn't get hit, something was wrong, you know.
I had a day like that in December. And actually, my last video I posted up was that. I caught maybe like 50 during a tide cycle, but I've got like 12 in a row, you know, on this video. And I sped it all up so it's not, you know, 10 minutes long. But it was just like that, you know. It was if I didn't. You know, as soon as I cast it, it was just one of this little hole that they were sitting in. You know, it's like when I pulled one out, another one hopped right back in its place, you know. I mean, it was literally 12 in a row on this video, and then I just nonstop. I had to walk out of that creek. It got so low before I, you know, the fish were still there biting, and I had to walk out of there.
Oh, yeah, man. So did we, President's Weekend. We were in Jacksonville, you know, all the yak angler and dude, we had to walk like the last half mile out of there because I've never seen a tide like that before. I'm not kidding you, man. It dropped like 5 feet in these creeks. You know, it was you know, at the beginning of the day, you're up there at the top of the grass, you know, sitting on top of the grass, and by the time you got home, it was, you know, you were about 5-6 feet below the grass. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I've never seen
yeah.
a tide change like that. It was crazy. But,
yeah, and Georgia can have it up to 10 feet tides.
Wow, man. Chip.
Yeah, I mean, when you get like in the middle of Georgia, man, they can have on the full in the full new moons, they can have some gigantic tides.
Yeah, and some of that, man, it was like it was testing my endurance for sure because going against some of those tide, you know, some of that tide going out of there, man, was, I mean, you're having to, like, paddle as hard as you and fast as you can to get, you know, an inch at a time. So,
yeah.
It was, I mean, I was ready to grow some new arms after that one, man.
One thing, a lot of people probably already figured this out, but it's a nice little tip. But if you got to paddle against the current, get as close to the shoreline as you can. The currents are always a little bit slower. I mean, like one of your paddles hitting the mud on that side. You know, that's how close to the shoreline. And it helps a little bit. You know, you can get it out of out of the current, the full blast current, and sometimes you can get some eddies coming off of the marshes or something like that, but if you can get up as shallow as you can up to next to a channel, you get a little bit less of a current, because that Georgia, that current, you know, from Jacksonville, or actually St. Augustine up to Charleston is brutal. You know, you can't mess with it. You know, you can't fight it.
Oh, it was crazy, man. I've never seen anything like that, but you know, the landing crew there, man, Mark, he was, I'm telling you, he stayed out longer than we did, and he ended up saying that they had to slog it back the last 2 miles, you know, dragging back through all that stuff, man. So, Mark...
Yeah, that was definitely rough, and there was, you know, I was thinking, I was doing the same thing, you know, if I get closer to the marsh and then you run aground, it's like, oh!
Yeah.
I mean, we were past... Man, we were paddling in like five, six inches of water for the first, you know, we were about maybe 8 miles to the boat ramp, and, you know, 5 miles of that, and then, you know, logging, you know, getting out, getting stuck in the mud, popping out, and, you know, leapfrogging, you know, through the deeper areas to the shallower areas. It was definitely rough, but
it
was a memorable experience.
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to the Mosquito Lagoon trip, man, because that was definitely a lot of fun, man. When you catch so many fish, you gotta stop fishing, you know. so we were digging that, man, and you know, we got a bunch of us going and getting together over there, so you know, we're definitely looking forward to it. So you're saying about Christmas, your new DVD will come out. I hope to get it out before that,
you know, but at least by then. I've got to save up enough money for it right now. And with the new truck, it's going to put everything a little bit back financially.
Absolutely. Now, do you send them off somewhere and get them, like, you know, get mass produced and everything?
Yeah, I get 1,000 of them at a time. That's the best deal. And
I used to do the same thing with you know, and with bands back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some pretty good places. Now, what do you use to edit with?
It's a consumer grade. It's the Pinnacle Ultimate Studio 12. I did those two. I've got the 14 for the one I'm working on now. But yeah, just, you know, consumer grade stuff. It's not the high end stuff. There's a big gap between, you know, the $150 consumer grade and the $1,000 professional stuff. You know, there's nothing in the middle. I went with the low stuff, and it works. I mean, I'm not doing anything fancy. It's not my style to do all the flashy stuff and, you know, the animations and all that stuff. You know, it works for me. I mean, I hardly use any other transitions besides, you know, the simple fades, you know.
I thought the editing was great on it, man. You know, I've played around with a little bit of that stuff, and I'm not very good at it myself. But, you know, I'm always, you know, I look at stuff like that. You know, I'm a huge movie fan myself, you know. So, and I definitely can appreciate, you know, the do-it-yourself stuff too, man. I mean, that's great. That's a great way to do it, you know. Have you ever checked out World Angling? Any of their films? Look them up if you get next to a computer. There, they're called World Angling, and they're based in the Keys, right? And it's just a bunch of guys, and they go out and they always have films on the fly fishing film tour and stuff. So they're those guys are awesome, man. Let me tell you,
I probably have seen some of their stuff then. Yeah.
I mean, it's really.
I freaking love them, man. They're great.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me. I watch their stuff, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm packing my bags for the Keys, you know. I mean, they even got the worm hatch in there, like the Palelo worm hatch that happens down there. It's like one weekend a year, usually around, you know, like Memorial Day or something. And it's just something to behold, man. When you see like these. You know, 100-pound tarpon running through these just giant clouds of these worms that hatch, you know. But, yeah, definitely check them out, World Angling. Rob, you do some editing too, don't you?
I mean, I'm just more for myself. It's obviously, I mean, nothing huge, but, yeah, I enjoy doing it, yeah. My boss invited me on one of his trips with his clients, and, actually, like three of his clients, and it was like a striper trolling trip. So I just took a whole bunch of footage and and I put it together, and he really liked it. So it kind of started from there, and I actually enjoyed doing it. So
I built up
a library of my own stuff when I will out, and then just came up with a compilation like last year sometime.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What was really cool, Kevin, about how you were showing how you mount your cameras and how you do all that stuff, you know, because I always wondered that myself. I'm like, man, you know, where are you going to put a camera on this thing that, you know, you can actually, you know, it's not just like you looking at the camera, or, you know, it's not a hat cam or something like that. You know, it's hard to get a good view on your, you know, a point of view that you can, you know, that's actually watchable, you know, so
yeah.
I thought that was really cool. Two
cameras on each kayak, man. It's wild.
That's exactly how we get it, and that's the deal. Like, say me and Rob are going out, we'll both have two cameras on, you know, a bow cam, and all of them running the whole time. You know, bow cams, you know, getting on us, and then we also have each one of us has a stern cam on a tripod behind us, and that's
right.
Also filming our personal boat. But now, say if Rob hooks up, I'm grabbing my stern cam, throwing it on him. Now he's got three angles on him.
Right, that's
that
awesome.
So that's how I get that. I knew I had to get, when I started thinking about doing this, I read that you know if you had some buddies to do, you know, to dedicate to filming this.
Oh,
stuff,
heck
but,
yeah!
But the thing is, it's not like. You know, I didn't want to have somebody, you know, I've filmed before with, you know, the Game On movie, and that really kind of pushed me over the edge of going for it. I filmed some beforehand with a local TV show here, and it was just real hard to get a right day, you know, to get, you know, we didn't catch a fish that whole Game On movie, you know, the whole week, you know, and I was just like, man, if you guys were just here, you know, so I knew if the only way we're going to get it is if I just had cameras rolling the whole time, you know, the whole time I'm fishing, have cameras rolling. I can't hire a guy to come out and film us, you know, and that's all he does. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to work. So I figured if all of us have cameras, we all fish. We're all fishing, you know, none of us are dedicated to the filming, but if somebody hooks up, then it's your job to get that shot also, you know. And that's the way it works out. So everybody, you know, everybody gets the cameras, everybody gets the same kind of job angling and filming at the same time. And that's the way to get the hookups and all that stuff. You know, you just can't do it with
really
one camera.
Yeah, it really is the key, because if you're not shooting pretty much the whole time, you're not going to get the shots that Kevin gets unless you're shooting it all the time. You know what I mean? That's something I learned. You just cannot time it. It's just impossible. So you just got to roll the whole time like Kevin does, which, I mean, you got to have, like, batteries out the wazoo on your kayak.
You got batteries, and then at the end of a three-day fishing week, I've got, like, 170 hours to go through.
Oh, my God.
Man, it is a full-time job. I mean, a full-time job on top of...
Yeah, that's why you get the shots that you do, though. You got so many hours of footage, I mean, that's how you're going to get the best stuff, you know?
All my cameras, on these Sony cameras that I have, I can actually edit on the camera. So I got a 3-hour span of footage. I can fast forward it, you know, find where the hookups are, you know, get before that and get any kind of stuff before that. But if you saw, you know, you saw the movie and my comic relief buddy Lee, he's always talking the whole time. So not only did I have to watch, you know, the footage, I have to listen to his footage because he's always running his mouth saying something stupid. So I always got to get that stuff, you know. So when I'm editing Lee's camera, it's like I'm watching the Lee show for all day, because it's really nonstop like that all day long.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I love it. You know, I keep it going. You know, I don't mess with that at all. Just keep it going and give me more. You know, it's awesome.
Well, I tell you, you know, there's something here. I've been kind of playing around with the thought of throwing something on my kayak here, and it's a. Have you ever heard of a stand and fish? It's like a little kind of like a backrest for you to stand up and kind of lean on that you stick on your kayak.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And I've been kind of, you know, looking at that. I ran into that thing at the at the boat show a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was kind of a neat thing, man, you know, and I just didn't know if any of you guys have ever tried it or knew anybody that tried it and, you know, the pros and cons of it, man. I'm trying to kind of find some people that have, you know, used that kind of stuff, you know, so I can know whether or not it is a waste of time or not, you know. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Throw some cameras on it.
Yeah, no. I was thinking,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
It
kind of looks like the thing on those Freedom Hawks, right?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a bar.
Yeah. Stand. It's kind of like a little lean-in post. Kind of looks like a little, like a miniature, you know, polling platform or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But,
so,
you know, with we talk about with the mounting stuff, I mean, you know, my cameras are pretty heavy, so, you know, they're about 5 pounds in the housing. You know, the whole thing is about 5 pounds each. So, you know, it was hard to find when I was going through the mounting, trying to figure out how I was going to mount these things. I was like, okay, maybe I'll put something in the rod holder or something like that. And we ended up doing the bow cam was easy. It's just a bungee strap with two eyelets, you know, two deck loops strapped to the front. You know, it's real simple on that one. But the stern cameras, we had to, you know, we have our crates. Well, we had to secure our crates to our kayaks. I mean, like super secure, where I can literally pick up my kayak with my crate. And then I, you know, zip-tied a tripod, like a heavy-duty tripod, to the back of the crate. So I can completely pick up the whole boat with the tripod attached to the crate, you know. So a 5-pound camera getting smashed around on the waves isn't going to break anything. So that was, like, the biggest challenge, and we got zip-ties and super zip-tie everything.
That's awesome, man. No, I'm, like, interested as hell on, like, how you guys – you know, do all that stuff. I think it's awesome. So, you know, any of that information, man, are you going to put any sort of thing on there where, you know, you show how you do all that stuff or anything? Like,
yeah, and if not in this one coming up, but the next one I'm going to go over my boats, and if not there, I'll probably put it out on YouTube once I come to it. But I'm going to show all my rigging and on video on the next one after this one. Now, that one will be out hopefully next year, and that'll be the winter species, the tautog and striper and springtime black drum if we can get on it. We target them every year, but not every year we get on them. So that's going to be the third fishing DVD out next year, hopefully. And then I'm going to have more room on that one to do all that rigging stuff.
Yeah, you know, in the touring movie, I thought it was really cool that you were showing, like, you know, how you pack your kayak and everything. Because I do, you know, I throw all my camping stuff in my kayak and go out to the barrier islands and stuff like that, but it's not like any sort of long-distance thing or anything like that.
Yeah,
you know?
But really, touring is my buddy of mine, Jake, who did the loop, coined this. He said, you know, long-distance touring is nothing more than just an overnighter over, you know, a bunch of days in a row. Because the same junk you're going to take with you when you go out there for that one night is the basic same stuff you're going to take with you when you go on for months.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. Chuck, you ever do any long-distance touring or anything like that in your kayak?
Not yet, but I've got several trips planned for the summertime this year and then also the springtime of next year.
Awesome. What are you going to do? You going to do the Everglades thing?
No, actually, I'm gonna cross the. I'm gonna try and do the crossing through the state down south through Okeechobee and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then I want to do a Bahamas tour.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Get some cameras for that. I like to see that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm fortunate. I've got a lot of. I also work in a tackle shop, Kevin, and I've got a pretty large customer base of guys that either own houses or rent houses over in the Bahama Islands.
Awesome.
And most of those guys have their own private planes and stuff. So getting to and from is not that hard. You know, it's like $40 to get from where we are to the Bahamas one way. So. You know, I'm not going to do all the Bahama Islands in one solid trip because I've got my boys here at the house, babies. So, you know, I don't think my wife will allow that to happen. But, you know, in little spurts, you know, do maybe two or three island hops and then come back and then do a couple more islands and come back. And
that is
cool.
Super cool. That is super cool.
You definitely want to bring your fly rig for that, man, because that's the place to go for bonefish for sure, man. That's a blast right there. Oh man. Oh, so come on, somebody tell me a story. I'm like running out of material here.
I don't have any kayaking adventures, dude. I haven't been kayaking. I've been too focused on killing cobias.
Yeah, man, dude, that was. Oh my God! You need to take the kayak next time, so we can get some. I know it's probably wavy as hell, but you know, get out there and get some. You know, get in the kayak and catch some of those, so we can get some more points for kayak wars.
Yeah, I plan on it as soon as we get some decent weather for the kayaks. But right now, it's been the wind in the morning is not bad. It's like 5-10 out of the south, or usually out of the east, but then. You're talking like right around 1 o'clock, it picks up to like 10 to 15, 15 to 20 quickly. So that's the last place you want to be when it gets like that, especially in a kayak. So.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, too, over here, the amount of boats that run up and down the beach looking for cobias is a little insane.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the safest in the world to do.
Yeah, might have to, you know, dodge some stink pots out there. Hey Rob, man, what's the deal with your team on Kayak Wars there, man? What do you guys go fishing every day? Because I'm like looking at the standings the other day, and you're like
the name is fitting, man. It's like we really are a bunch of junkies, man. We just cannot get enough of this stuff. and how Forrest, the guy Forrest on there, he's like a local legend down here. He fishes, man. That guy's just amazing. He's like Kevin, he's just a wealth of knowledge. You can get so much out of him if you get him talking to. It's just amazing. So, I mean, I can't say I picked the guys. I feel like, you know, we all kind of just came together. But all of us kind of like we know each other. We're all freaking nuts about this. So.
Absolutely.
We're doing pretty good. Hopefully we can keep it up. I kind of feel like we will. So. I'm not really upset, but a couple of my other friends who are I hold dear as my friends, you know, but they're not quite as into it as I am, you know what I mean? And that was the team from last year, and one of the guys, I mean, I kind of pulled over to this team too, but you know, it's frustrating when you know I'm trying to, because I'm competitive, man. When you put me up against other people, I want to do good, obviously. And you know, the guys up in New York, which is in the same region as we are, they just kick ass last year. And I just really want to step up on them, so we'll see.
It's funny because I was looking at the stats and the standings and everything, and it's like, you know, you guys are like 2,000 points ahead of everybody else, you know. I was like, man, what do? Go fishing every day? That's crazy.
Our season hasn't even started yet.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. This is the slow part for us.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm thinking, man, you know, what's it going to be like when the weather gets warm? That's crazy, man.
I think striper especially, because we got that lockdown. We know so many angles to get at them, and we can get them pretty much all year round, except for, like, the absolute bitter cold ones. And in the summertime, I think we should be able to max out every month on stripers, which I think it's like 50 per month, so.
That's awesome. Yeah, same thing down here with redfish, you know. I mean, between Chuck and Dee, if they can't max us out on redfish, you know, then, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's like redfish has, you know, the redfish capital of the world over there, Mosquito Lagoon
and
Sebastian
like
and stuff.
You know, you get people like Dee, I mean, you guys should rock that down there, man.
Yeah, and then we got on this coast, you know, on the west coast, you know, we got snook over here. And, you know, they don't, well, their area, they don't get snook all the time like we do here, man. And let's see, about another, well, probably by the end of June, they ought to be on the beach again. And it's like, I don't know if you know about snook on the beach, but you can, like, literally walk down the beach and you have to cast parallel, because if you cast straight out, you'll miss them. You know, they're literally 18 inches off the shore, you know.
I've got a good snook story from when I did my tour through there. I was on a Sanibel Beach, actually
yeah.
right at Captiva and Sanibel, that corner where there's no houses. I was camping there and just eating my ravioli, watching the water, boop-a-doo, watching, you know, the end of the day. And this, you know, it's end of June, you know, the time when they're spawning out there. And this big one, I mean, she was 30 plus to 40 inches, you know, that big. And
yeah.
just, I mean, right at the surf line where the waves curl over and you can see through the waves, she was right there. I mean, where the beach hit the water, she was swimming right there and with like five little males like bumping on her. You know, and I just like dropped my ravioli, fell out my mouth, jaw went slack, dropped the thing, and I, you know, just dropped it and picked up my rod and just like started running down the beach, just chasing her. You know, and for like a half mile, she wouldn't take it. She would go right over top of it and wouldn't take it. Finally, she bit, you know, and all of a sudden I was like, what do I do? I got this fish up and chasing for a half hour, and she just shook. And I had like 17-pound leader on or something like that, and she just broke it right off. I mean, those things, sandpaper mouth and razor blade gill plates, you know, those things are, what's really cool about those things, you know, coming from up here, a guy from up here going down there, is they're a lot like striper, really structure-orientated. They don't jump like snook do. You know, our stripers don't jump like snook, but very similar in the same way they hunt and stalk and, you know, ambush. You know, they're real structure-orientated. Love a real erratic bait. You know, I learned that, you know, when I was down there. I could see the snook behind these rocks, just couldn't catch them. So when I just start reeling my bait back all fast, and bam, they hit. So I was like, okay, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, it can be the most frustrating thing in the world. You'll be sitting there, you know, I fish a lot at night, you know, in like dock lights and you know, residential docks, and, mm-hmm. and everybody has lights out, you know. Well, you know, the thing, you'll see them sitting there, you know, and they just look like a log sitting in the water,
yeah.
you know. And you're throwing everything you can at those things, man, and they just ignore you. You know, hey, you know, nice artificial you got there, buddy. But you know, it's really weird. You really gotta, you know, when they're not eating, they're not eating. But if you can, you know, sometimes you can get them to, you can get them to eat when they're not in the mood, so to speak. But they can be so frustrating because you're sitting there just, you know, looking at a 20-pounder, just sitting there, you know, just hanging out and you know, not interested in eating, you know. But
I saw them for like 2 weeks before I could catch one when I did that tour. I saw them as soon as I started hitting the mangroves, which is right above Crystal River. You know, that's where I started. I saw my first one there, and I couldn't catch them until I got to Sanibel.
Yeah.
it took me that long to figure those things out.
Yeah, Sanibel is that's probably one of the best snook areas in Florida, you know. I mean, and people will beg to differ, but I'm telling you, man, that down there, that's snook on the beach.
Oh, yeah, well, snook on the beach, and like every tree that was down in the water, you cast into it, you hook one, and like five other jump out from it. You know, it was amazing. I launched off that morning, and a guy named, his name was a guide named Ozzie Fisher, I think his name was. And I was paddling out, and he said, you know, I told him my story, what I was doing. I said, well, we'll catch a snook right here. He let me get in on their hole and cast and catch snook. So it was really cool, you know. It was caught like 30 snook before I even got my day going that day.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, they really took a beating a couple of years ago in the winter.
With the cold,
Yeah, I mean, that just, they really, the numbers last year on the beach, like, I mean, that's like a good spot to judge, you know, your snook fishery. And I'm telling you, anything, you know, north of, I don't know, probably Sarasota, really, I mean, the snook populations just took a beating. And in last year, it was like you could really tell, man. They're, you know, you'd see them on the beach, but it was just, it wasn't. They're usually thick, you know, and they just weren't, man. They just definitely got thinned out. But
and between between y'all's winters and the red tides that you guys get, it's,
I don't remember getting a red tide last year though, so we were kind of lucky in that respect.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, you've had two consecutive winters that were pretty bad, I think.
Yeah, this year it was pretty bad, but I didn't see dead fish floating around like I did the year before, man. I mean, we were down at a marina, and I was sitting there counting, you know, 25-inch snook, you know, like, I mean, probably, close to 100 of them, you know, that I could count just right there and standing in a marina, you know. So that's a quite a chunk, you know.
Yeah.
And if that was happening all over the place. So anyway, well, listen, we're at the end of our hour. And, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was good to have me on, man. Good to talk to you, man. Anytime, you know, you want to come on, just give us a call. And, you know, let us know about your movie and everything. Come on, you know, when that thing comes out, and we'll get you on and talk about it.
Cool.
All right, man. Kayak Kevin from Chesapeake
Kevin,
Bay.
Well, before we go in, while well, I got you here, you got are you doing anything this weekend, man?
I am. I've got the Catching for Kids show in Chesapeake, that show. But actually, I'm going to be up your way tomorrow, Rob. I've got a Richmond show.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, so I've got that to do tomorrow. I've got to work all weekend, and then I got Monday and Tuesday, and then I've got I'm going to the New Jersey paddler show, going to be there from the 23rd through that next weekend. So I'm kind of out for the next 2 weeks. Then I'm going to get back. Everything should be on.
are you going to be working at the tackle shop anytime soon? Because I need to call. I guess I can ask them. But I think I need some credit. I might be going out on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll be at the show with Ocean's East.
Okay.
So I won't be in shop, but I'll be at the show. But, yeah, they'll get some in, man. Everybody's jonesing to get some blue crab and get out there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Later, man.
Well, this is hey, Rob, man, thanks for coming on. Call up anytime, dude.
Yeah. We'll do,
all right,
man.
Have a good night.
Yep, appreciate it, man. Bye.
All right.
Bye, Rob.
All right, man. Talk to you later, Kevin. That was
cool, man. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on and everything, man. I definitely appreciate it.
No problem. Let us know, man. Like I said, let me know, and you can come on anytime.
Cool. Yeah, and hopefully next couple weeks we'll start having some fish in, and I'll give you a call and give you some reports and stuff.
Awesome. Looking forward
to
it, man.
Cool.
All right, man. We're getting to the end of our hour, and we've been on with Kayak Kevin. And you can check him out at kayakkevin.com. Check out his videos if you get a chance. And, Chuck, you going fishing this weekend, man?
No, I'm working at the shop this weekend, man. I'll fish next week, but
awesome.
I don't think I'll get any of the plastic woods wet. It'll all be offshore stuff, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, hey, let me know, and I'll you know, after I get a vehicle and everything, if you want to, you know, go catch some dolphin or some mahi or whatever, you know, let me know. I'll come over.
Yeah, you're always invited, brother.
Awesome. All right, man. Chuck from ChucksKayakAdventures.com. If you're in the Mosquito Lagoon area, give him a shout. Go out and catch some big redfish, man, in a kayak. All right, man. We're at the end of our hour, and this is The Late Show on Kayak Fishing Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and I'm your host, Rob of Bad Backcast DeVore. You can check out my blog on www.abadbackcast.com or on yakangler.com. If you're into kayak fishing, get on there, check it out, and it's a good site for kayak fishing. So until next week, man. Peace out. Happy Valentine's Day. Where am I? Happy St. Patrick's Day. And definitely take a kid fishing. And we'll see you next week.